Department, San Antonio, Texas.
Hey, Doc, we better back up. We don't have enough road to get up to 88.
Roads? Well, we're going. We don't need roads.
Taz Dingo! Yes!
It's showtime.
This is Old School at the Movies, episode 81 for June 5th, 2014. Old School at the Movies is brought to you by the brand new TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. Check out some great shows like The Spanish Announce Table, The Split Decision, and Trending Mobile Technology. Welcome back to Old School at the Movies, your one-stop shop for all your movie-related news. I'm your host, Mr. Old School. Before I get to the panel this week, let's get into the contact information. OldSchoolMovies.net is a site where you can listen, download, and subscribe to the podcast. If you want to get in touch with us directly, don't be shy. OldSchoolMovies2@gmail.com. You can tweet us at OldMovies.net. OldMovies.net. That's Old Movies. DOT Net. So without further ado, let's introduce our panel for this week. We started with our Iron Man. 1 year Iron Man going strong, heavy set.
It's the new streak right now.
It is the fucking new streak. Somebody's got to take you out, like when you're on your road or something, fucking hit you in the back of the knee and take you out so you can't get it to the laptop. We got Kebo Trek.
I am Brock Lesnar.
No.
And I will take out his streak.
It's Barack. Lesnar.
Brock Lesnar.
We have Carp.
Sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows, everything.
We've got Cock Talk himself, Will.
Yep. Hey, guys.
And Darren, or D-Ren, is currently MIA. We'll be back shortly. Let's get into the news of the week.
I'm Bruce Nolan for Eyewitness News. Back to you, fuckers.
Is Marvel intentionally sabotaging its relationship with Fox? Robert Pattinson's rumor says he's the frontrunner to play Indiana Jones. What? Star Wars Episode 7 suddenly has a massive problem with leaked set photos. Oliver Stone is adapting the Snowden files about NSA whistleblower Edward Snowden. James Cameron will spin Avatar into a Cirque du Soleil spectacle. And also James Cameron considering a 3D Terminator 2 re-release. We're going to start with Marvel intentionally sabotaging its relationship with Fox. This summer, Marvel celebrates their 75th anniversary, having opened up shop in 1939 when the comics introduced Namor?
Is his Namor.
Name? Namor? Okay.
Namor.
Oh, yeah. That's I'm kind of showing my uncomic ability, I guess. When the comics introduced Namor, a submariner, oodles of culturally significant characters later, and Marvel has risen not only to the top of the comic book world, but also Hollywood. Marvel's got several 75th anniversary plans, including the release of its new 75th anniversary magazine. You can see the cover in the show notes. So in this image in the show notes, they're missing X-Men, Fantastic Four.
So lesser known people like Rock Raccoon are there and like Wolverine isn't.
Simple thing is Marvel is basically saying, look, we fucked up by selling our intellectual property rights of X-Men, Spider-Man, and Fantastic Four.
It's not they fucked up. It's just it was a different time.
It was a different time. They were running out of money. I understand. Yeah. But now that they have Disney money, they're saying, look, we fucked up and we don't want to promote it and we hope the shit tanks so you sell it back to us.
Do you think that's going to happen, though?
Well, Ghost Rider's gone back.
Daredevil.
Daredevil's gone back, that's correct.
Punisher's
something
gone
else
back,
went back,
I believe.
Too. Blade's gone back.
Yeah, but these are more
Blade's
minor, like, the so. Successful, like, X-Men, I can't see them.
No, but the reason why the minor ones came is because the minor ones couldn't get movies done to keep the rights. The more successful ones do.
It's, I believe it's set within 7 years of your last intellectual property release, you have to release another thing related to it, or it goes back to the original owner. It's something.
I thought it was. It's 5 years
it
for something
even,
to be.
Yeah,
it's 5 years, but same in literal production. Yeah.
Could that depend on just the contract they signed at that point, or
yeah
particular like say one movie contract? They say okay, one could be 5 years, one could be three.
Could be, yeah. But I think they had made them all 5 years.
Yeah, Okay. No, it's in the end, it's that Marvel wants to get their shit back. And I understand that now because they have Disney money now. And these companies aren't willing to give it up because, I mean, look at how much money X-Men made opening.
But you know what's funny? Guys, we said that Marvel wants it back. It's not Marvel. Disney wants the stuff back.
I just said Marvel has Disney money.
But it's not Marvel that has Disney money. It's that now Disney's got Marvel, and now Disney wants all of Marvel.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Either way, it's that. And besides, the shit I'm reading about the next Fantastic Four, it sounds like it was going to be freaking terrible. So like I was saying, Disney/Marvel wants their property rights back. I'm sure they believe they can do better than what's, especially the last Fantastic Four movie was so terrible. To me, if they're finally included to Fantastic Four and Avengers at some point, holy crap.
Yeah, I mean, it just seems like be counterintuitive to kill your own baby, you know what I mean? Just to I know why they might want to do it, but I mean, to intentionally fuck over one of your franchises to get it back later, I mean, that's, to me, it's a huge risk.
I don't think they're necessarily fucking it up. I think they're just not sponsoring it for. I mean, they have enough brands to sponsor themselves. They don't need to have the other one. So I don't think it's necessarily fucking it up. It's just giving Fox that as little as possible. However, they are still having Spider-Man there, and Spider-Man is owned by Sony. So I'm not really getting the whole picture. It's not necessarily they want because then they wouldn't put Spider-Man there either, right?
Do you guys see a time where they get Spider-Man back at any point?
No.
Not for a long time. That's why we got the reboot so quickly after Spider-Man 3, because they know these movies are going to make money, and there's no reason for them not to keep pumping them out, even if they're crap.
Yeah, I agree. Same for X-Men.
So next on our list is Star Wars Episode 7 suddenly has a massive problem with leaked set photos. J.J. Abrams' Star Wars Episode 5 is a massive hole, or an undercover mole, or both. It's on Tuesday that Abrams' Star Wars have already been exposed twice by someone on the blockbuster set. It was a direct line to the gossip website TMZ. On Monday, the site ran a slew of pics that showed huge truck-sized puppet creatures, extras in costume, and large ships that confirmed J.J. Abrams' claims that he's relying on full-blown practical effects for Star Wars Episode 7. Today, TMZ shared yet another from this set of photos of a famous, beloved ship whose name rhymes with Shalenium Balkan. Click on the photo in the show notes if you want to know a bit more. But this begs the question, what the hell is happening on the set of J.J. Abrams' Star Wars Episode 7? We have enjoyed writing at length about the director's mystery box approach to filmmaking, cutting corners to protect secrets from media members, and he has said on the record that he liked to protect secrets pertaining to Episode 7 for diehard Star Wars fans. But so far, he's failing. Question to the panel, is this leak accidental or accidentally on purpose? Will, let's get your thoughts.
I think it is accidentally. I think it's some, especially because they went to TMZ. So that's the part that, to me, I find really weird. Yeah, I think it's someone who has an iPhone and just wants to make some extra money. I think that's what's going on.
Do you think Abrams has anything to do with it, guys?
I do. There's no way Abrams doesn't have his entire staff sign something that says, if you come out with any of my stuff, you're fired, and I'm going to take every single thing you own.
And I'm going to fucking rape you and rape your children?
Completely, it's accidentally on purpose, yeah. To me, it's, I'm going to own your children and slave them out in Nigeria somewhere. There's no way this is completely, accidentally released. Especially TMZ, the way it is a newer source now, people actually use TMZ to further their careers.
It just seems too convenient, especially the fact that he's very close. He's very in control of stuff going on. I mean, he would know. He would have at least a general idea if this was happening, who was doing it, and pretty much close it up as quickly as possible if he wanted to, in my opinion, anyways.
Sure, it's 100% shenanigans. That's it.
Anybody disagree?
I just have very quickly, on a different note with the article. Yeah, I like that he's going with more old-school special effects, and one of the biggest problems with his the second trilogy was he had a massive boner for the special effects being just completely overshadowing the movie, and I like that Abrams is going kind of old-school and bringing back, the animatronics and things like that.
Yeah, awesome.
I fully agree. That's what I thought first.
Yeah, yeah. Practical always beats special effects.
But you know what, guys? I was looking at, Jurassic Park. Jurassic Park was done with some digital and some practical effects, and that's why the movie still holds up so well.
All right, let's get into the movie review, or reviews, of the week. got two movies reviews of the week. Two movie reviews of the week. This week, start off with X-Men. Days of Future... Is it Days of Future Past, this one? Or is it...
Yes.
Okay. Days
yep.
X-Men, Days of Future Past, starring just...
the majority of them,
yeah. I'll say this, in brief, best movie of the year so far. Really surprised me, because I'm not a huge fan of the X-Men franchise, to be honest. But I'm loving the reboot. I mean, this destroys the first one just because of the cast. And they go in depth with just fantastic graphics, fantastic story that kept me on interested throughout the entire movie. I did not see the 2 hours. You know, it flew by. It was just extremely, extremely entertaining. The acting quality of Fassbender as Magneto, having Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen in the cast as well, really added to it. The storyline took its time to explain a lot of stuff. One thing in particular they kind of left out, but for the majority of the stuff it got explained, and it all kind of fit together, and it wasn't cheesy in my opinion. It kind of worked out okay in the way they moved the story along and progressed. Also, a post-credit scene, fuck yeah, and yeah, just pretty much... For me, everything was just extremely entertaining. I give it, and no shaky cam, by the way, I give it 10 out of 10. There was nothing bad about this movie, in my opinion. Who wants to start?
I'll give it...
Comic book guy start.
Oh, thank you. That's very kind of you. Okay. Well, to me, it's more of an 8.5 out of 10. Even though the scenes of the future are really awesome, the scenes taking place in the bulk of the movie, which is taking place in like in the 70s, I found the plot a bit too simple for my liking, for such a big story. I actually felt a bit small, which people might think is great, but I don't know. It wasn't my type of thing. I know people like that Wolverine, even though he was the anchor, did not have much of a major role, but I would have liked to see just a little bit more of Hugh Jackman action. I'm in the minority here, that's for sure. That's just me. And also, there's a few things that I don't like. Characters appear, characters leave, and I don't know why they don't just stick around. However, the ending to me was awesome, very much worth it. What I find amazing is how you're able to actually rejuvenate the entire franchise when it seems like when it's too late. So it's awesome. So I give it 8.5 out of 10.
Carp, let's get your thoughts.
I got the same rating. I'm an 8.5. The special effects, the Sentinels, really well done. Tyrion Lannister, aka the midget. phenomenal actor.
Yeah, I forgot to mention that. He did a fantastic performance.
He's a great actor. Yeah. Anyways, you could tell that Hugh Jackman's really grown into the Wolverine role. From the Wolverine to this, he's really gotten it down. As a guy who's read the storyline, I can see where a lot of people bitch and complain about the continuity errors, but you got to put up with it. I enjoyed Quicksilver stuff that happens. Because you know Quicksilver's in it, according to the trailers. And like I said, the only downfall is you could see there's continuity errors as a comic book fan. Done.
Kebo, track your thoughts.
Yeah, very, very quickly. I just wrote a couple notes. I'll just say them quickly. I thought the special effects were unbelievable.
Yeah,
I
agreed.
Like just the scene, the opening fight scene, the stuff would blink and all those things. Just unbelievable. The colors. It really popped out, and one of the best movies ever for special effects. Like you guys mentioned, the acting was phenomenal. Fassbender, Lawrence, Dinklage, all those people. I mean, Stewart, when you have all those in a movie, I mean, you can't go wrong. Just fantastic acting. I like the, I know the continuity thing, but I like the way they handled it, and I liked how they didn't explain something. It won't make sense unless you see the movie, but I like that they chose not to explain it.
Yeah.
And just, I like the way they set up things for the future, where you can move forward without being constrained to what came before. So I think they did it in just a fantastic way. And like you, I can't say anything bad, so I'm going to give it 9.5 floating stadiums on 10.
Awesome, thank you.
Oh, and the 3D was really good for once. The 3D was good.
Yeah, 3D was good, yeah.
You lost heavy.
No, we didn't see it. Yeah, okay.
We didn't see it, yeah.
Yeah, we didn't see it in 3D. Hey, Heavy, have you seen X-Men?
Yes.
Okay. Heavy, let's get your thoughts on X-Men, 30, 45 seconds.
I really enjoyed this movie. I think it was a way of taking what was really bad about X-Men 3 or X3 and throwing it out the window. My only gripe was, from my point of view, I still don't understand the ending for X3 and how we went from that to this, and how that's my only continuity error question. But I think other than that, the movie was really great. And the thing that I enjoyed, actually, I think it was due to timing. I had to go see the 3D one. And 3D has just gotten so real, so good. There was points, actually, whenever they go back to the 70s, and there's a mirror in Wolverine's room. The 3D for that mirror, it felt like if I turned a little bit, like I moved a little bit to one way or another, like the image in the reflection for the mirror would move with it. It was just so good. That's one thing I liked about just the progression of 3D. But if I were to rate it, I would give it a 9 out of 10. And in my book, this is a movie you need to see in the theater ASAP.
Yeah, agreed. I might even consider going to see it again in 3D. Who's seen Million Ways to Die in the West?
Me!
All right, Carp, let's get your review.
A Million Ways to Die in the West. If you like Seth MacFarlane's humor between Ted and Family Guy, you'll like this movie. It's very poop, pee, erection humor, as per Seth MacFarlane. A couple of surprising cameos. Unfortunately, a more recent trailer ruins one of those cameos. Like I said, basic poop, pee comedy with some good gore. The hell? With some good gore.
Sorry about that.
What else? A couple of surprising cameos, poopy humor. Charlize Theron did a good job.
You love saying poop pee for some reason.
Amanda Zeffried,
I think. Yeah,
she's got a decent Freed role. Even Neil Patrick Harris's moments. Liam Neeson's natural Irish accent.
Liam Neeson brings a lot to this movie.
Thicker and even more over the top Irish accent than he already has.
Yes, sir.
Some good comedy. If you're looking for a cheapy Tuesday, like, you know, 1800s Family Guy episode, this is what you're going to want to see. It's a 8 out of 10.
Quick question for the panel. Do you think that this movie was not well received because it was MacFarlane doing the jokes and not a cartoon character?
Oh, that is one downfall. MacFarlane was acting like he's modern era and not like he was living in the Old West. So that's what made it a 7 for me.
We've also got Will, who has seen Million Dollar Arm. Let's get your thoughts on John Hamm's cock.
I thought the Million Dollar Arm was referring to his cock. It doesn't.
It could be a metaphor. It's true.
Yeah, it easily could. Like, it's a baby's arm holding an apple, right? It's worth $1 million. In any case, no, it's about two Indians getting into baseball to a reality TV show. And just like any other American movie, instead of focusing on the Indians, it focuses on the white guy instead. And I couldn't care less about the film. So I give it a 4 out of 10.
Gotta love the white guy focused on the American in pretty much every movie. And yeah, thank you very much.
Hold on. Did you not like it because you're not good at sports? Or did you not like it because it's...
I thought it was a misrepresentation of the actual story.
Oh. Because you know the actual Million Dollar Arm story?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's about the Indian guys getting into baseball.
And it's not the Indians, it's the actual
No,
Indians.
It's the actual from India. But no, this is about John Hamm and his rich people problems.
Oh, okay. White people problems.
Yeah. Rich white exactly. people, okay, first okay. world.
Rich white people. Sorry, oh, yeah. Problems. He's got this huge house in LA. Oh, yeah, sure.
This huge.
So white people problems.
Huge house. All right. Let's get into the weekend box office. Kevin, let's get the numbers for this week.
Coming in at first place with, for me at least, a surprising $70 million is, I can never say it,
Maleficent.
Maleficent.
And it's because Jolie is a huge freaking draw.
But I guess I'll just throw it right away to the panel. Are you guys surprised with this? Because I was surprised with this number. I mean, I don't know much about the property.
Disney
but...
and Jolie. That's it.
Yeah,
I guess that's
much.
All.
Pretty
all
much.
The,
Well, my girlfriend went to go see this, and she always telling me that it was actually a pretty damn good movie. And I'm trying to think. She said she wanted to go see it again, but I think it has to do with that draw of it's a story we all know, and they're giving you a background story, and they have that draw with Angelina Jolie behind it. It's just destined to work.
All right, coming in at second place is X-Men: Days of Future Past, adding $32.5 million, giving it a total of $162 million on a domestic, and it's at what is it at? It's at $503 million worldwide already. Already the most successful X-Men. Coming in at third place with a kind of tepid, although I don't think it's as bad as most people think, is A Million Ways to Die in the West with just under $17 million.
Yeah.
Although I can understand, I guess I can understand it because it's not going to do much internationally. Coming in at fourth place with $12 million is Godzilla, given it a total of 174. It's another movie that's doing well internationally, so studio will be happy there. In fifth place, adding $8 million is Blended. Nothing more to say about that piece of crap. Okay. Coming in at sixth place is Neighbors with $8 million, giving it a ridiculous total of $129 million.
It's still doing well, man.
On an $18 million budget.
It's pretty hilarious, man. I mean, this is going to survive by word of mouth.
Any possibility they have a second one?
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Not with the way the first one is. I can't see it.
Part of me thinks they're going to try to make some kind of sequel.
To me, you got to do another fraternity living next to another couple.
Maybe that's the way to go, but I think we're going to see something more from this because it's at $200 million worldwide on an $18 million budget.
That's sick.
Coming in at seventh place with $3.7 million is The Amazing Spider-Man, giving it just under $193 million total domestic. Another movie that's doing fantastically on the international scene.
Nobody reads nobody reads Rotten Tomatoes, apparently.
Yeah, I know. Coming in at eighth place is Million Dollar Arm with $3.5 million, giving
AKA
it,
John Hamm's cock.
giving it a total of $28 million. Coming in ninth place, which I've actually heard really good things about, is Chef with $1.9 million, giving it a total of just under $7 million. And rounding out the top 10 is The Other Woman.
Kate Upton's Boobs.
The Other Woman or The Other Woman?
The Other Woman.
Okay.
As Karp said, Kate Upton's Boobs, adding $1.4 million, giving it a total of $81 million and... Actually, a surprising for me, $172 on the worldwide market on a $40 million budget.
Wow. Thank you very much, Kebbo Trek. Upcoming movies for this week, we start off with Edge of Tomorrow.
What I am about to tell you sounds crazy. But you have to listen to me. Your very lives depend on it.
This is not...
You see, this isn't the first time. Now, we've had this conversation. What day is it?
Judgment Day. You just came in with the fresh recruits.
This is not the end.
The invasion will fail, along with every soldier you are sending. We lose everything.
Come find me when you wake up.
You do know what's happening to me.
What happened to you happened to me. You hijacked their power. I need your help.
With what exactly?
Winning the war. We can do this. Just come here every day and I'll train you.
This is
no matter what I do, this is as far as you go.
Why does it matter what happens to me?
I'm not a soldier.
I'm a Top Gun fighter pilot. Starring Tom Cruise, this is a hybrid of, I guess, Groundhog Day and Recode. Is it Recode, the one with Gyllenhaal? Or is it, was the one he's on the train he keeps...
Source Code.
Source Code, that's it. Yeah, it seems like I mix it up while adding a bit of sci-fi as well. I would say for myself, maybe a Cheapy Tuesday or a Rent, and I am a Tom Cruise mark, and everybody hates Tom Cruise, but... Yeah, Cheapy Tuesday or Rent for me. Karp, let's get your thoughts.
Pretty much same opinion as Oblivion. I was going to wait for Cheapy Tuesday, and then it ended up being part of the bargain bin because it looks like Groundhog Day Action Edition.
Yeah, I actually liked Oblivion. Kebbo Trek, your thoughts.
I liked Oblivion too, and this is I'm the big sci-fi guy on the panel, and this is nay for me.
Wow. Will, let's get your thoughts. A comic book guy. What do you think?
I'm really curious. I'll say yay, but like a Cheapy Tuesday yay.
Cheapy Tuesday, okay. A heavy set, your thoughts?
Nay.
Yeah, but you hate Tom Cruise. Like, say if it wasn't Tom Cruise, say if it was like Gyllenhaal.
Even when I seen this trailer, I was like, this is weird. I'm not interested.
To me, it seems like there's going to be one of those like, oh, wow, okay, aha moments for myself. I'm hoping anyways. And usually Tom Cruise, if he goes in anything like this, it's going to be more than what you're seeing on the trailer anyway. So keep an open mind. What's The Fault in Our Stars? What's that?
It's a rom-com. Just fuck that. Skip
okay.
it. It's,
okay, Fault in Our Stars. No, thank you.
You know what? It's not even a rom-com. I think it's just a romance.
It's not a rom-com. No, it's one of those...
dying
of
fucking lung cancer or something.
No, no. Yeah. Do you ever watch like A Walk to Remember or The Notebook?
Yeah.
It's that.
I'm a heterosexual male who doesn't have a girlfriend.
18 to 35.
Ooh, doesn't have to watch any of that crap unless I'm taking a girl out on a date or expecting to get some in the end. So no, I've not seen either of those movies you mentioned.
All right. So also on DVD, check out RoboCop coming out this week. Let's close the show and get your final thoughts. Cart, plug, final thoughts.
As always, StableWars.com. If you're in Montreal, I believe this episode comes out on the 12th. The Montreal Beer Festival will actually be out in Montreal that weekend, and you should definitely check it out. And if not, go online to firebox.com and buy yourself a Monkey Brains bowl online. And you can eat chilled Monkey Brains like just in the movie.
That's awesome. Will, what's going on with Comic Books for the Win?
Well, we've got a bunch of interviews for cosplayers, interview comic book people, and we got some reviews up. So yeah, so comicbooksftw.com.
Who was that Montreal one? She was hot.
Is she was she at Montreal or was she from Montreal?
No, she's from Montreal. She's the French one. She had like a blonde wig or something. She's fucking hot.
Just
kidding. I don't know, man.
That wasn't Negri. It was the one that was just out. She does like Asian anime and stuff. She's from Montreal. Starts with a D.
But dude, check out Miracle Bourbonnais.
Oh yeah, that's the one that she's in Heroes of the North.
Oh yeah, okay. Wow. The well-endeavored one. The one.
She's the cosplaying Bianca Beauchamp.
Yeah. Heavy set. Plugs. Final thoughts. Yeah. So go to kayfabesportsradio.com, I think, or it's kayfabe.
I got it. App problems. Yeah. The normal www.kayfabesports.com. Got a couple new shows that have been added to the mix. DSJMP.com WrestleCast.
Yeah, what's that juicy thing? You got like 500 fucking juicy this, juicy that. What's
that? That's a friend of mine who, big local independent fan, knows a lot. I mean, granted, his quality sucks, and it's hard to school him on it. Like, hey, do this way, do this way. Like, edit your shit, know what the fuck you're doing. Cause there's times that he'll do a live interview with somebody, and like his vocals are just annoyingly high.
Okay.
I can't get him to, but he's a guy that knows a lot, and he has his own thing, and he's been doing it for a while off. Before he got on the network, I was like, just join mine. And because you're a cheap bastard and don't want to spend the money, just join mine. I'll help you promote and help you get some people listening to your shit. So awesome. Just kind of a business venture to help him out.
Awesome. Kebo Trek, final thoughts.
Go see X-Men.
Yeah, agreed. So for Kebo Trek, Will, Carp, Heavy Set, this is Old School. Thank you very much for listening.
What's up? It is Heavy Set, and I'm here to tell you about Kayfabe Sports Radio, the home of the Ohio Indie Report and NFL Easy Picks. On the Ohio Indie Report, I break down what's going on in the Cleveland scene of independent wrestling, from AIW to Prime Wrestling, and some of the little organizations in between that I can attend. And if you also like NFL football, be sure to check out NFL Easy Picks, hosted by myself and my good friend Joe Bennett, as we break down and talk about what is going on in football, and we make our picks on the coming week's games. And all this can be found at www.kfabesports.com. You can also find us on iTunes by searching Kayfabe Sports Radio. And while you're at kfabesports.com, be sure to check out the links for Kayfabe Sports Radio, Ohio Indie Report, and NFL Easy Picks on Facebook and Twitter. So for now, be sure to check out the Ohio Indie Report and NFL Easy Picks on Kayfabe Sports Radio, where it's all a work.